In the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate, hello and welcome to Pure Home with me, San Hakju. Well, we all know that knowingly or unknowingly, culture plays a huge role in our lives. Today we'll be delving into the discussion of understanding cultural values within family and society, and we'll have other segments to our program from here and there, a report, a story, much, much more, so you'll definitely want to stay tuned to today's program. We are honored to have with us Mr. Majid Karimi, who is a university lecturer, to discuss cultural values within family and society. Hello and welcome to the program.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, at first I want to say hello to my viewers and thank you for your kind invitation.
You're very welcome. It's wonderful to have you with us. So, Mr. Karimi, we want to start off with telling people a little bit, how does culture help to build communities that are successful at improving conditions and resolving problems?
For answering this question, I think it's better ask this question at first. What is culture? Mm-hmm. And why is it important? And then talking about the influence of it. Culture refers to a group of people get together, mm-hmm. work together for a main goal. It refers to a community which shares common experiences and shapes the way its members understand the world. But the question is here, what are these groups? I classified them in two groups. The first group is those groups that we are born into. Mm-hmm. Like our nationality, our religion, our classes, our gender, that we don't have any option, mm-hmm. we don't have any choice. We are obligated to join these groups. On the other hand, we have another groups that is very interesting to me, is those groups that we join consciously. Mm-hmm. We become part of it consciously.
We choose them based on our interests.
Exactly.
Things that we want.
So, most of the time, the people think that whenever they want to go from one country to another country, so they can experience different culture. Mm-hmm. Of course it is, but it is not actually. It is something else. Culture is actually the characteristics and features of those groups that we want to become to participate inside them. For example, the family is the unity, is a group, is a cultural group that we for the first time experience it. Mm-hmm. So after we want to leave the family and go to school, go to university, to job, to work outside in within the society, actually we will face so many
cultural groups,
yes, that we exposed to it.
Especially in multicultural societies, right? Because you're constantly being exposed to different
Yes, exactly. Because of that, it is very interesting to know that all of us at once belongs to so many cultural groups at once.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I belongs to my family, I belongs to my work as a university lecturer, mm-hmm. I belongs to, for example, everywhere, every groups that I want to participate inside, mm-hmm. that I want to join it consciously, mm-hmm. it is the cultural groups that we experience.
Mm-hmm.
But why is it important? Because it influences directly or indirectly, consciously or unconsciously, on our views, our values, mm-hmm. on our hopes, fears, wishes, everything.
So are you saying that we can have different cultures, so to speak, intertwined? Or since, we're exposed to different cultures, you said, in the family and then in society at work.
Yes.
So we have a little bits and pieces of different
cultures. So before we want to join to one of these groups, actually it's better to analyze them. it's better to gather enough information about it. It's better to know the characteristics and features of those groups. For example, the culture of people, members of the society inside the family mm-hmm. is totally different from those ones to go to university. Mm-hmm. The culture of behaving in these two right. groups actually is different, and we should understand the differences.
Right.
Why? Because we want to follow these cultural values mm-hmm. and we want to respect it. For what? Because we want to work together, because we want to be together for a main goal. The goal of the family maybe is different from mm-hmm. the goal of the university right. or a school or your work.
Mm-hmm.
So we should consider the different values of each, the different characteristics, the different features of each group before we want to join it. Why? Because we should follow these characteristics. We mm-hmm. should respect these features. These rules,
mm-hmm.
and if we don't know, we never pay enough attention to these facts, so maybe we cannot be influential within that cultural groups. It's my opinion, and it's very important to know the cultural values of mm-hmm. those groups that we want to join.
Mm-hmm. But then if you're part of like a university, sometimes I guess members of a family may not accept some of the aspects of a different culture. How would that work? Would that cause conflict?
Yes, they will be faced with a different situation, and they have most of the time faced with conflicts because they never pay attention to the rules, to the features, to the patterns that is introduced by those groups.
Mm-hmm.
So they will face with some conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to avoid these conflicts, it's better to prepare our members of the society, our members of the family,
mm-hmm.
before they want to leave one group.
Know what they're going to be exposed to.
That's right, that's right. So according to me, one of the most important role of the family is that to prepare the children before they want to leave the family mm-hmm. group and wants to go inside the society and face so many different situations, mm-hmm. different cultural groups in front of themselves.
Mm-hmm. So would that go back to answering the question of in order to resolve the problems in the communities is to be exposed to these cultures? Is that the answer to our question? We need to be exposed to them before we go out into society?
We should prepare them. At first we should introduce different information. For answering your question, actually I can say very simply, by educating and by instructing we can solve this problem. But the way of applying it is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We should consider three different situations with three different education.
Mm-hmm.
According to me, I can classify the education in three parts. The first part that's happened in schools and universities, mm-hmm. that is formal education. The other one is happens in media, mass media, that mm-hmm. you can see, is non-formal education. And the last one is informal education, that is the most important one, mm-hmm. that happened within the family. But what are the differences? In formal education that's happened in university and schools, the students are trained, are taught by very skillful teachers mm-hmm. and masters and professors on a very strict way, on a strict curriculum, on a specific subject matter. These are good, of course.
Right, within structure and frameworks.
That's good, but the problem is here also. Why? Because the formal education never pay enough attention to this fact that how to be together, how to work together. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in our society also, the formal education never concentrates to this fact that teamwork, how to we will be as a team,
mm-hmm.
work together for a main goal. As you know, there are so many experts, so many specialists in our society that actually they never understand, they never know how to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And they most of the time act personally. So we cannot achieve the main goal that we want. And this is the actually the role of the teachers, professors, masters to cultivate this culture,
mm-hmm.
to cultivate the culture of working together.
Yeah, because
to be
I can
together.
See how there wouldn't be success if there's no teamwork, right? Because
as a team
we're living as a society, we're not individuals, we're all part of that
we
society.
Work as individual, exactly. But in formal education, we have a specific subjects,
mm-hmm.
a specific subject matters that concentrate on that in formal education.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have the chance of teaching to our students how to work together, as you said, as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And they never knows how to follow those specific information that is provided in a school and university. This is the task of the teachers and masters and professors. This is formal education,
mm-hmm.
actually. We have another situation that is informal education. Informal education that's happened within the family.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most important one.
Probably the most important.
Exactly. Why? Because this is the first group that we experience in our lives.
Right.
And the parents, father and mother, are the first teachers in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody exposed to so many information from infancy.
Mm-hmm.
These types of information that we expose to it from infancy within the family are actually accidental, unclear, quantitative, uncontrolled.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the task of the parents, first, to introduce these types of information. Of course, it is impossible to control everything, but
mm-hmm.
it's better try to spend more time with the children and explain this information
mm-hmm.
that is available every day, and we expose to it from infancy every day, every time, everywhere.
Especially because they play the most important role, so.
That's true, yes. And the other thing is, according to me, is the task of the parents is also to control, not directly, try actually monitor them,
mm-hmm.
try to help them, try to explain
mm-hmm.
rather than control the children directly. And again, we should cultivate this culture within the family.
Mm-hmm.
The other types of education beside formal and informal education is non-formal education
mm-hmm.
that we can find it in mass media.
Mm-hmm.
Mass media like television, radio, internet,
mm-hmm.
Computers, different websites. On the other hand, we have books, magazines, and so many other things. These are available, and we are exposed to
and
it.
And probably very, very effective. Would it be fair to keep this media, the information that we get from media and the effect that it has, we'll keep that for after the break. We'll go listen to our story, because I think it's probably quite influential, something we want to talk about a little
mm-hmm.
bit. So we'll go and listen to our story, and of course, we'll be back.
Okay.
The Wolf and the Fox. Once upon a time, a fox was going in a way. It saw a well in its way. Since it was very hot and the fox was very thirsty, it stood beside the well and looked inside it. The water was very low. On the top of the well, there was a wheel and a pail which was hanging from it. In order to be able to drink the clean and clear water of the well, the fox sat in the pail and went down. It reached the bottom of the well, got enough drink of clean water, but it couldn't come back to the top of the well. The fox was there for about 1 hour. Every once in a while, it looked up and shouted for help. "I've gotten stuck here." At this time, a passing wolf saw the fox's footsteps. It followed the footstep until it reached the well. It shouted, "Are you there, fox?" The fox said, "I'm here, friend. Do you want to help me?" The wolf smiled and said, "Of course I want to help you. Do you want to come to me?" "Yes, I want to, but I can't." "Why?" "Because I have broken my leg." The wolf happily said, "Aren't you afraid of coming near me?" The fox moaned and said, "Why should I be afraid? Being near a wolf in the forest is better than dying in a well." The wolf, which liked to take the fox out of the well and kill it and eat it, then said, "Now tell me, how can I help you?" The fox shook the rope with his muzzle and said, "With this rope, look, there's a pail on the top of the well. If you sit in it, it will come up and be saved." So it jumped into the pail without thinking about it. Since the wolf was heavier than the fox, the pail went down quickly, and the fox went up. The wolf didn't understand what had happened. While the wolf was going down and the fox was coming up, they saw each other in the midway. The fox told the wolf, "Did you want to help me? Go down the well to get your reward." The wolf said, "What are you saying, fox? Do you leave me here alone?" The fox said, "You wanted to help yourself, not to help me." Then the wolf went down very quickly. The wolf said, "Pull up the rope." The fox said, "Are you asking me to help you with the same rope?" "Yes, with the same rope." "Didn't I bring you out of the well with the same rope?" The fox laughed and said, "It's not possible, no way. Because I don't trust you, I can't listen to a wolf. I can't go to a well with your rope." The fox said this and left while the wolf was still shouting and asking for help.
Welcome back to the program. Well, we're here with Mr. Karimi, and we're speaking about understanding cultural values within family and society. And before the break, we started to talk about the media and how that affects, and the cultural effects, I think, that seep into our families and individuals.
As I talk about this, I classified three types of conditions actually we will face. The first one is family. That's the most important one that I talk about, that that we can find informal education. The other one is formal education, that we can find it in schools and university. And the third one, that we can find it in mass media with so many types of information every day, exposed to it by so many other different tools, so many different facilities like television, internet, websites, and books, magazines, that nowadays we are exposed to it every day.
Right.
And every room is occupied with several of these tools,
different
these
electronic
facilities,
devices,
technologies.
And
actually these types of new technologies provide so many different types of information to us, and we cannot classify them. These types of information are actually unclear, accidental most of the time, and it is uncontrollable.
Right. A lot of times it's just unconsciously you get a lot of information.
It influences our unconscious part of the mind. And who is responsible for that? Actually nobody, but we can control somehow. The information that is provided by these new technologies can be destructive and at the same time can be constructive. So it's up to us.
How do you find the middle ground to get a bit of the...
to be positive or negative side.
Right, to get the advantages but avoid the disadvantages.
This is one of the tasks of the managers of the media, to introduce, at first, introduce these new facilities. Unfortunately, in Iran, at first we experience different new technologies, and then we try to make a culture about that. So it's better at first to make a culture of using these facilities. And then try to introduce different types of information that is available by these websites, these facilities. This internet, these computers, televisions, and at the same time try to control the negative sides. This is the task of the managers of the media, in society, and at the same time, the task of the parents within the family, try to introduce, try to explain more about those information that is available every day. So after introducing, after explanation, so it's the time to control them.
Right, because everything's there, everything, like you said, unconsciously, it's in every room in your house and it's right at your fingertips. So the parents are the ones who need to, I think the managers of, like you said, the media, we're not sure that a lot of them are socially responsible. So I think that it would be more of a burden on the shoulders of the parents.
Because the children very soon, after they grow up, they will leave the family unity and once go to inside the society and wants to join one of these cultural groups. And because they never understand the cultural values of those groups that they want to participate inside them, so most of the time we will face with a disaster. Why? Because they never understand what is good and what is bad, advantages, disadvantages. They never understand how to avoid the negative sides and how to follow and respect the positive side. And who is responsible? Of course, at first, the managers of the media, family, the parents, father and mother within the society, and in schools and university, the teachers and masters and professors, these are responsible for cultivating this culture. Which culture? The culture of respecting the values that is introduced, and before one to join one of them, it's better to analyze exactly what is good and what is bad. It's better to cultivate this culture to our children, to think about their future, to understand that they are responsible for their future themselves, and they can gather enough information about everything before they want to do something. From whom? From the teachers, from the parents, and from those who are authentic for us.
Okay. All right, well, we'll go for a break. When we come back, it's time for From Here and There. Welcome back. Well, in this part of the program, it's time for my colleague Farhad Bafoju to give us a glimpse of an interesting article and an informative book. So let's let him take it over.
Thank you so very much, Ms. Safju.
You're very welcome.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this part of the program, From Here and There. The most precise experimental atomic clock has been developed in the United States that neither loses nor gains a second in 5 billion years. The newly created experimental strontium clock has set new world records for both precision and stability. The finding was achieved by a team of researchers from the National Institute of Standards and Technology, the NIST, in Boulder, the United States. The clock includes a few thousand atoms of strontium kept in a column of about 100 pancake-shaped traps called an optical lattice formed by intense laser light. The clock is placed in a laboratory at the Joint Institute for Laboratory Astrophysics operated by the NIST and the University of Colorado, Boulder, on the university's campus. Rochester, who wrote a book titled About Time, says, while it may not be apparent now how new atomic clocks might change our experience of time, someday people may interfere directly with computers and become aware of fractions of seconds. Welcome back. Today I'm going to introduce you to the book Tenets of Islam, written by Sheikh Tusi and published by Islamic Seminary Publications. One of the most eminent Shia scholars, Sheikh Abu Ja'far Muhammad, who was born at Tus and buried at Najaf, has said, "The acknowledgement of Allah Almighty is incumbent on everyone obligated to observe the religious precepts because Allah is the benefactor. It is therefore necessary for us to acknowledge him so that we may be thankful to him." The book covers such topics as the attributes of God Almighty, monotheism, justice of Allah, as well as prophethood, infallibility, and also leadership of Imam Ali. For those of you who are interested in learning more about Shia Islam, this book is really a great source. Well, today I have collected for you another article. Iran has unveiled a new indigenously designed and manufactured flying robot which can be used for a number of civilian purposes. Sayed Amiduddin Mousavi, the head of the Zanjan branch of Samai Technical and Vocational Training College, says that the aircraft has been developed by 7 Iranian researchers at the faculty, can fly up to 400 meters above the Earth's surface, weighs 1.3 kilograms, and is capable of carrying a 3-kilogram payload. He added that the radio-controlled aircraft can remain steady in flights and can fly without an operator. Mousavi further noted that the vehicle can be used to perform videography missions, transport goods, monitor electricity and telephone lines, as well as identify, track, and chase people and objects. Well, with that, we come to the end of From Here and There. Please send us your comments and suggestions to our email address, purehome@sahartv.ir. Thanks for watching. Back to Ms. Akshu.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fafaju. Now it's time for our report. And in this segment, we're covering homeopathy. This is part one of the report. Let's take a look.
گیاهان دارویی و شاید اینجا بشه بحث داروهای گیاهی را هم در کنار گیاهان دارویی داشته باشیم از مؤلفه‌های
medicinal plants or even herbal medicines have been an important component of human beings' lives for a long time. The reason is that people have always looked for ways of treating or curing themselves as a result of disease or natural disasters. Historical documents indicate that since at least 4000 BC or 5000 BC, people have used medicinal plants to cure themselves. In some countries, these are cited in history as using medicinal plants for remedies. Iran is mentioned as a pioneering nation in herbal medicine and medicinal plants. So we have a very good history and background in using plants for medicinal purposes. In fact, as an ancient civilized nation, we needed scientific sources and a series of scientific work in order to be able to overcome our problems. With our long tradition of scientific activity, particularly in the use of medicinal plants, fortunately, we could change from onlookers to being a pioneer in this area of science. در روند استفاده از گیاهان دارویی در دنیا
In a period
where science flourished in Islamic Iran, we witnessed many unique works on medicinal use of plants. The first person who wrote a book about the medical application of plants was the Greek scientist Dioscorides. He has a book known as Hashayesh in Iran. This is a very valuable and important piece of work in use of plants and herbal medicines. When it entered Iran and Islam, It was combined with Iranian knowledge of herbal medicines, and a lot of new information was added to the book. If we compare Dioscorides' book with Ibn Bitar's book called Mufradat, we see that Mufradat is a much more comprehensive and advanced work in use of herbal medicines.
که در حقیقت وجود داشت و ترجمه شده بود در آن زمان شاید در جمع 500 گیاه معرفی می‌کرد.
Abu Rehan Biruni has also written a book about medicinal plants called Sidne. In this book, he has added a lot of new information to the information available in earlier books. We have worked seriously on medicinal plants because they're one of the most important components of traditional Iranian medicine. It is not our concern here to talk about the sources of medical plants because it may be long and a boring discussion. But there is no doubt that in every important medical book of the past, at least a chapter was dedicated to medicinal use of plants. Al-Hawi by Razi, Qanun by Avicenna, and Zakhire Khorasshahi by Sayyid Ismail Jojani are some examples of books on traditional herbal medicine.
Welcome back. Well, we're speaking about understanding cultural values within society and family. And at this point, Mr. Karimi, we want to know, what are some suggestions about the ways of teaching these cultural values to the members of family and society and the ways of filling the cultural gaps?
For answering this question, I think it's better to consider three types of family at first, because each type of family has its own policy for teaching these cultural values. The first type of family is authoritative family. In authoritative family, the parents exert its control over the members of the family directly and try to keep order, try to control everything without any explanation, without any expression of warmth and affection.
Basically, because I said so.
Because I said so. Exactly. If one of the children ask why we should do that, they said, because I said so. There is no explanation. And there is no choice. There is no option. And the children obligated to follow those patterns introduced directly to them. There are so many strict rules, so many standards that is intolerable to continue for the children. But they don't have any choice. They should follow. In this type of family that we have some patterns of it in some years ago, and we have also nowadays, the children never understand the way of thinking.
To think for themselves, because
for
they're
themselves.
Always told.
As I said before, the children are responsible for themselves, but they don't have the chance of thinking. So after they grow up and wants to leave the family unit to go inside the society, because they never understand the way of thinking, because every time the parents said what to do, so imagine that in this situation, how they can decide about their future. They follow everything that is introduced immediately. For example, if they go to school, if they go to university or everywhere, they just follow. They never understand the different values. They never knows what is good and what is bad. They never knows the negative sides and positive sides.
Because they've been trained to just obey orders.
So this is the authoritative family that's better to forget it. On the other hand, we have permissive family that's mm-hmm. opposite of authoritative family. These are two extremes, mm-hmm. actually. In a permissive family, the parents give up everything to the hands mm-hmm. of the children.
Completely lenient.
Completely. And children feel free to do everything that they like.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, there is no explanation, and also the children have so many options. But actually, they don't have any knowledge. They mm-hmm. don't have any experience about everything. So very soon after they leave the family unit, they should make decide.
Mm-hmm.
They should make decision. And of course, they make mistake. Why? Because they don't have enough experience about mm-hmm. everything. So it's better, again, to forget the other extreme, permissive. But the most and the best, the most important one and the best one is the democratic family.
Mm-hmm.
In democratic family, the parents actually give the chance of thinking about their future, give this opportunity to the hands of their children, and the children feel free, of course, but they know that they are responsible for their behavior.
Mm-hmm. For so they give them taken. Rights, but with those rights come mm-hmm. responsibilities.
Exactly.
They're guided, but
they know that if they decide something, they are responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
So in this type of family, the children understand the responsibility, the feel of responsibility. So at first, they try to gather enough information about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the source of their information? The parents.
Mm-hmm.
They themselves come to parents and want to consult with them.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, the parents never control directly the children. They try unconsciously try to monitor them rather than control them.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever and wherever it is necessary, they try to
intervene.
Mm-hmm. And they try to help, try to consult, try to explain, and help them to make a decision about those things that they want perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, most of the time, even in our society, the family, the parents, the father and mother, as the first teachers in our lives, never understand the important roles of themselves, and they just want to exert their control or give up everything on the other hand.
So they take it lightly. Mm-hmm. Can I just get you to hold that thought? We'll go for a quick break and we'll be back to wrap up. All right, so we're ending our discussion about 2 or 3 minutes left in the program to end off. And you were speaking about the vital role that parents play to mm-hmm. guide their children.
As I emphasize again, this is the role of the parents to be democratic in their family, try to monitor and help the children to understand the cultural values outside the family, inside the society. And because they should know how to behave outside in the society, in other cultural groups. So, and because the family education is the earliest education mm-hmm. that we receive within the family. So I again and again emphasize this fact that the parents should be democratic in their behaving to children and try to help them. Unfortunately, most of the families nowadays, because they are so busy,
mm-hmm.
never pay attention to this fact. And it's better to spend more time with their children, spend more time because they work outside because of their children. So it's better to spend more time. They need more.
The important factors are really lost mm-hmm. In lives nowadays.
But we just think about financial matters outside in the society. So. but they need more time to spend with them. And the other problem of the parents actually within the family is that they never pay attention to this fact, interaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to interact with their children. It's better to spend more time with them and interact with them. How explain about those information available everywhere? As I said, everywhere there are so many types of facilities that provide so many quantitative, unclear, accidental information mm-hmm. for us, for our children. So it's better to spend more time with them, try to control them, try to monitor them. Mm-hmm.
Trying to sift through the good and the bad.
But not directly.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to monitor them and try to help them, try to explain
mm-hmm.
different types of information for them and give the chance, this opportunity to them by the sense of commitment, understand the different cultural values, and then they decide about their future.
Mm-hmm. So ultimately, what we want to do is control, but indirectly, like you said, because you don't want to cause your children to become rebellious if you're mm-hmm. forcing them. And like you said, the authoritarian family, if you're imposing your wishes and
control,
your will on the children, then they're bound to, at some point, I think, rebel also mm-hmm. and go in the opposite direction. Okay, in the final minutes of the program, any final tips? We hope to continue this discussion if we can next week, but we'll see. So anything to end off with?
I want to again and again emphasize this fact that it's better to spend more time with our children and spend more time and explain about different things to them. We should introduce the culture of working together within the family and outside in the society. And it started by the roles of the parents as the first teachers in our lives, and then I ask from the masters and professors and teachers in university and schools to follow these tips and try to explain more, try to spend more time with the students and try to introduce different types of information and try to use the constructive parts of information rather than destructive ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Creamy, for being with us. And to our dear viewers, thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, go on our website, sahartv.ir, and drop us a line. Tell us what you think. Give us your comments and your views, suggestions. We do appreciate them. purehome@sahartv.ir is our email. Thanks so much for inviting us into your pure home. Until next time, goodbye and God bless.